Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Live from our WSBT radio studios in downtown South Bend.
Let's go! Come on!
Welcome to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Wow, don't blink. A lot of major intestinal fortitude going on here.
On your home for Notre Dame football.
Knocked down by Wooden. The game is over. The Irish is upset. Florida State. Notre Dame is number one.
And Notre Dame basketball.
Number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame.
Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Plus, Fighting Irish hockey.
They score! Jake Evans scores! Notre Dame 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The NFL and Major League Baseball.
Oh my gracious, how about that?
Sports Radio 960 WSBT, WSBTradio.com, the free WSBT radio app.
Big time onions!
Now, here's your host, seven-time Associated Press Broadcasting Award winner, Darren Pritchett.
And I'm joined by a Hall of Fame writer. He is a publisher. He is an editor. And he is one of the guys at InsideIndySports.com covering Notre Dame Athletics as part of the Rivals Network. Of course, I'm talking about, as Tyler James would say at the start of your Monday show, the one and only Eric Hansen. How much do you pay him to say that each week? That's so kind.
I should pay him because when I went to high school, there was another Eric Hansen, and we got mixed up a lot. He was 1 year older than me, and he spelled his last name differently. So it's nice to be the one and only Eric Hansen because there are a lot of them out there.
Between those two Eric Hansens, who had the best chance to date the lead cheerleader?
I'm going with me.
That a boy. That's, I like the confidence. There we go. I love that.
I'll say this. When I was a sophomore at Ohio State and we were out at the Rose Bowl as fans, I got asked out by the homecoming queen from Ohio State.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow.
And not, she did not ask me out for a second date, so.
Hold on here.
That was kind of cool.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
I'll just say this, you old son of a gun.
She probably figured out pretty quick that she was out of my league, and that was probably true.
Don't sell yourself short.
You're a tremendous slouch.
It is 9 minutes after 5 o'clock. Eric and Darren with you on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. It's really bizarre how our minds think alike in so many ways. Tonight's program brought to you by Budweiser and Ghost Energy, Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, First Aid Bank, and Bethel University Athletics. Eric and I are together in the 5 o'clock hour, in the 6 o'clock hour. One of my favorite people, Kevin Corrigan, Notre Dame men's lacrosse coach. He is the head coach of the defending national champions and the number one overall seed in this year's tournament. And the Irish, we now know, will take on Albany Sunday at 5 p.m. at Arlotta Stadium because Albany defeated those pesky Sacred Heart lacrosse players 13-7 yesterday. So it will be Albany and Notre Dame in a first-round series. You can get your tickets. I'm sorry, first-round game. FightingIrish.com/buy tickets. FightingIrish.com/buy tickets. $10 for adults, $5 for youth. So we'll talk to Kevin coming up at 6:05.
One of the best coaches in any sport.
Oh, there is no doubt about it. 36 years in the same job.
Yeah,
Remarkable.
And just remarkable amount of winning. I had a chance to talk to him earlier today, and I mentioned his late father, Gene Corrigan, who was one of the all-time – well, I mean, he was a class guy, and he made some great hires. He hired Muffet McGraw and Lou Holtz, but really knew everything about college sports. Whenever I had a question about realignment back when it wasn't as seismic and stuff, he was my first call.
Incredible. Well, he's got a wonderful program going. He had two of his players get taken in the first round of the indoor lacrosse draft, and two players today are up for the Player of the Year in lacrosse out of five nominated. Yeah. So things are pretty good right now at Arlotta Stadium between both of the Irish lacrosse teams. Okay, we've got some opening topics to get to here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. And let's do kind of part two of a series of conversations Eric and I are going to have over the coming weeks in regard to the depth chart that you, Tyler James, and whomever at InsideIndySports.com, you put together your best guess at the Notre Dame summer depth chart. We talked about the Irish defensive line yesterday. Today, I want to talk about the linebacking core, and I don't think Irish fans mind that conversation because there's been a lot of interest in this group for a good amount of time, and now all these young pups are going to play starring roles on this year's football team. So Al Golden has some really interesting players to work with in the linebacking core, and I really can't wait to see the different packages he's going to put together because a lot of the names we're going to mention, they're going to have some role in various packages for Coach Golden this year. Let's start with the old guy first, out of respect. We'll go with Jack Kaiser, who is going to be, more than likely, the weak side linebacker for this football team. Eric, this is a guy that I think everybody has a ton of confidence in. He was a player that came off the field a lot last year, despite being, I think, a very reliable player, an effective player. How will that change this year?
I don't think you will see him leave the field at all. he will play. He can play a lot of different roles. He's going to stay on the field on third down. He's been one of Notre Dame's highest graded players by Pro Football Focus each of the last 3 years. He was Notre Dame's top-rated defensive player in terms of film grades. And he's very versatile. He could play any of the linebacker positions. And I remember talking to Max Bulla, the elevated linebackers coach who was coaching that group last year as a grad assistant. And he said Jack Kaiser might be the most improved linebacker on the team at that time. And
that's hard to do.
Yeah. When you think of the improvement these other guys have made, Drake Bowen, Jalen Snead, and so forth, that's a mouthful. But I think we're going to see a very productive year out of Jack Kaiser and where he's able to kind of usher in the next generation of linebackers at Notre Dame, which is an exciting, I mean, very highly rated recruits, very athletic bunch, and he's kind of the connection between the old school and the new school guys.
And the leading candidate to be the leading tackler on this football team?
I think so. I'm not sure if you had that as your one of your questions or if we got asked it in a podcast, but
I've been thinking it. You read my mind.
I've picked Jack Kaiser.
What about the depth at the weak side linebacker spot?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the linebacker, when we do the depth chart, they're not always, there are certain positions that aren't a complete straight line.
Okay.
And this is one of them. So Jack Kaiser is the starting weak side linebacker, but I think there are going to be times where Jack Kaiser and Jalen Snead are on the field together, and Jalen Snead will be the weak side linebacker, and Jack Kaiser will be the middle linebacker. Kahanu Kia is listed as the number two guy, and he is, again, he had a two-year layoff from the Mormon mission that he was on and didn't play any football, really didn't get to work out on a regular basis till the last couple months of that mission. And he came on at the end of spring, and people saw the blue gold game. He was a leading tackler, and he was all over the place. And it's like, whoa. And then if we're going linear, Bodie Cahoon, who's a freshman who was incredibly productive in high school, 6'2", 210, standout lacrosse player. Just his tackle totals and his tackles for loss and sacks were incredible. Now, he's in Roanoke, Virginia, so he wasn't in the hotbed of football, and yet still those numbers against tackling dummies would be pretty impressive. And he would be the next guy there. But when you look at the people that are playing Rover, at least the ones that are on campus right now, Jalen Snead, I think, is the future starter. I think he's the Will linebacker next year. Jaden Osbury can also play that position. Jaden has become kind of the Swiss Army knife, kind of what Kaiser used to be. He's a Rover, he's a Will, and he's also a nickel. And Jaden thinks this is going to help him be an every down Rover in 2025, where maybe he can be the first one since Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah to be that kind of player.
Okay, so Kaiser is your guy as the weak side linebacker. Now let's go to the Rover, that linebacker safety combination. You've got Jalen Snead and Jaden Osbury as the two players listed on your summertime depth chart at InsideIndySports.com. And if you'd like to follow along or look at the website later, go to InsideIndySports.com. The banner across the top where it says football, click on that. You've got options and click on depth chart. So, Snead and Osbury. There's always a lot of interest in Snead. Osbury as a Rover, interesting, but also we saw him play the nickel
right
during spring and the blue gold game. So these are probably going to be prominent players on defense for the Irish this year in some capacity.
They are. Jalen Snead is probably the best athlete in the linebacker core. And when you say, wow, over Kingston Viliamu-Asa and Drake Bowen, and I mean, that's a mouthful, and yet I think that's a true statement. I think people are waiting for Jalen Snead to go from an elite athlete to an elite linebacker, and this would be the year that that would happen, and we're seeing signs of it. He's not there yet, but from December through the end of spring, we saw a lot of progress, and so we'll also see him in packages because he can – now, this is something he did in high school. He would line up as a defensive end a lot of times and rush the passer. He will be in packages where he's an edge player and rushes the passer. 6'1", 218. He's probably a little bit bigger than that going into the summer. But this is – Al Golden, the defensive coordinator, said, if not now, then when? And I think – the expectation is we're going to be talking about Jalen Snead a lot. Jaden Osbury, he was a guy that was maybe on a five-star trajectory in the recruiting rankings and didn't grow into a linebacker size until he got to Notre Dame. He showed up at like 6'1", 205. He's 6'2", 220 now. So he has become what the rivals rankers saw as an underclassman, and I don't know that there were big plans to use Jaden Osbury as much because of everybody else they have, and he forced their hand in the spring. He was just so good that they said, how can we get him on the field? Where can we get him on the field? So he will play some Rover. He will play the nickel sometimes, and he will also play — when Notre Dame goes to six defensive backs, they call it the Aztec. Usually that's a safety, and that shows you his speed, that he can run that well and cover that well at 6'2", 220. His senior year in high school in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, he was a middle linebacker, but he has a safety background. Mm. So he has really good coverage skills, really good athlete. He's my kind of one of my newer football crushes in terms of their play. I think he looks good in gold pants.
Okay, very good. And now we get to the mic. Let's be honest. It's difficult to replace J.D. Bertrand, whether it's production, leadership, or football IQ and understanding of Al Golden's defense. And we're going to be replacing him, no matter what, Eric, with a young player. But young is not necessarily a negative, because Drake Bowen and Kingston Viliama-Asa showed their capabilities and the possibilities, what they could become at that position during the spring.
They did. Notre Dame lost a player to the transfer portal. I think people forget about this, who was trending positively, and that was Nolan Ziegler. He ended up, I think it went to Central Michigan, and he had some mental health issues last year that he was open about addressing and just decided to move down a level. When you look at the middle linebacker position, Drake Bowen, KVA, and Preston Zinner, there are teams Preston Zinner could start for, and he's a sophomore and he hasn't played very much. That's how good they are in terms of talent. Now, are they going to be able to be productive and not make mistakes? I think Drake Bowen is such a student of the game. If he were not, Kingston Viliama-Asa would be the starter, because he's that rare of an athlete and also a student of a game. I mean, I think comparing Kingston Viliama-Asa to Manti Te'o as a freshman is not a stretch. And that Drake Bowen is ahead of him.
Wow.
At this point, says something. Drake Bowen is just a remarkable athlete. He's good enough to be, I think, an everyday player in college baseball. He's not good enough to do that while playing football. I think that's a really hard thing, and Evan Sharpley will tell you that. Guys were able to be pitchers because it doesn't require the everyday timing and so forth. But Drake Bowen, Notre Dame is, this is exciting. Tyler James and I got asked on our podcast today to rate the positions from the position we feel best about on the team to the least optimistic. And linebacker was the hardest to place, because they don't have the resumes yet, and yet you feel very good about projecting. So I projected them a lot higher than Tyler did. I think Tyler had them only ahead of wide receivers and offensive linemen, and I had them quite a bit higher, and even was sheepish about not having them higher than I did.
On a different subject, talking to a college baseball coach last year, Dylan Bowen is the baseball player.
Yeah.
His younger brother is the real deal.
Dylan plays at Hanover Central, yes, in Cedar Lake, Indiana, which I used to live in Cedar Lake at one point. And so he did not go to Andrea, and they didn't go to the same high school. But yeah, I've seen some social media stuff of him, and it's like, whoa.
And I'm not saying Drake isn't the real deal. He's just a football player, and baseball's kind of a hobby right now. For that kid, Dylan, he's going to be a sought-after baseball player at the next level. All right, so that is a look at the InsideIndySports.com linebacker depth chart. Again, you can look at the entire depth chart at InsideIndySports.com, and we'll be talking about each position group over the next couple of weeks. Now to this subject. You touched on it yesterday. I did not know about this when you mentioned it, and it's really kind of blown up on social media today. 24/7 Sports national college football writer Brandon Marcello released his top 30 teams and teams to watch. I think it totaled 36 teams, something like that. Notre Dame was not on the list, not even on the teams to watch list. So why was Notre Dame not on the list? He was asked that a lot, and I think his social media blew up. He had to address why he didn't have Notre Dame on any of his lists. He said, too many new pieces at crucial spots, quarterbacks, wide receivers. want to see how they fare against Texas A&M before fully jumping on board. Love the coaching late last season. I had a very hard time deciphering what to expect and choose to keep them for early summer. To me, Eric, I'll give my opinion. I don't know Brandon, and I respect his opinion. You know what? I don't think he's going to be right, but he might be right. And if he is, he will be brilliant.
Right.
But there's a really good chance this is not going to age well. Because, Eric, let's play worst case. They have 9 extremely winnable football games, and there are 3 that would go in the category of they have a good chance of winning, but you never know. So let's use that as a base. Let's say worst case they go 9-3. Eric, they're still a top 30 football team, even at that worst case scenario. So as you read his reasoning for not putting Notre Dame in the top 30 or on the team to watch list, what comes to mind for you? Try to dig into his brain, because to me, I think, honestly, he forgot Notre Dame.
I thought he did.
And now he's trying to double down and cover it up and make it like, oh, I'm not sure, but let me see how they look at Texas A&M, then I'll readdress. Eric, he has Texas A&M 17, and they have more new pieces than Notre Dame does.
Well, I mean, he has Iowa at 20. In what universe is Iowa's offense able to get them to that point? He has Iowa State, Virginia Tech, West Virginia.
What about USC? They're at 8, aren't they?
He has USC at 8.
They don't have Caleb Williams.
I mean, it's hard because I don't know all the logos because he doesn't have the names. Is 21, I think, is Arkansas. Because he has Alabama 6, so, and he's got Auburn as teams to watch. So I'm guessing that, oh, maybe that's Arizona. But I don't think as a national writer you can go out on a limb that much unless you have inside information. For example, if he felt like there was, let's say Jared Barker was still the offensive coordinator and there was dissension on the team and there was worry about that, and there were, you know, tons of guys that jumped into the portal, and you felt like this was a program that was in disarray, and it feels like quite the opposite. I could see him leaving them out of the top 10. I can't see leaving him out of the top 30. Stunning. And again, I mean, if he's right, he'll get credit for that, but it just seemed to me, I honestly thought when I saw this, I thought he must have forgotten.
I think he did. He's got Nebraska 25th, Eric.
Yeah, I've read enough of his stories that I think he's a guy that does his homework, that knows his college football, and he's not, I've never seen him say, oh, I hate Notre Dame, and that he would do this out of bias. It just seems like he forgot. And there have been people that have been on the AP voting panel when I was on that forgot a team and they got booted off for it. You forget a team and they have to mess around with you and correct your ballot. You're done. They will replace you. They want people that do this perfect and turn it in on time. And if you don't do it, you're off the panel. And I did it for a long time, until I was no longer in newspapers, and then that made me ineligible. I vote in a different poll now. But you can't certainly forget. And then if you intentionally did it, I don't care if he even is right ultimately. That's a bad look that you can't justify how Virginia Tech is better than Notre Dame.
For our listeners, let me go 20 through 30.
Okay.
So this is who Brandon has.
Northwestern at 19.
Okay. Well, that's Kansas State.
Oh, Kansas State.
Yeah,
okay.
That's Kansas State.
My bad.
20 is Iowa. 21, Arizona, who really came on strong last year. 22, NC State. 23, Oklahoma State. 24, Kansas. This is the one, Nebraska 25. That is aggressive. 26, West Virginia, they weren't very good last year, if I remember correctly. 27, a Notre Dame opponent, Louisville, 28, Virginia Tech, 29, Iowa State, and at 30, you want to sing it with me? Liberty, 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 liberty. Yes, those are the teams that were put in his top 30 ahead of Notre Dame. And again, he's got a watch list as well, and Notre Dame didn't even make that. So again, he forgot. Sometimes you just need to cut your losses, I think, if that is the case, and say, you know what? I screwed up. Because it's not like it's just a guy that's helping out writing and just on the side is helping. This is their national college football reporter at 24/7 Sports. And it says in his bio, national award winner and loser. And seeking friends for a midlife crisis. Well, that might just explain it.
Well, and I would say doing this exercise is a lot harder than it used to be because of the spring portal period. There's a lot of additions and subtractions. Like the other day, I was thinking, wait a minute, who's Florida State's quarterback? And it's, do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's DJ.
DJ Uiagalelei. Yep. And they're going to see him again.
He'll never go away.
He will never go away. Twice with Clemson. They almost saw him with Oregon State, but he opted out. And then now they'll see him with Florida State. But so there are a lot of more additions, more teams that maybe you underrated a little bit. Notre Dame didn't have a lot of people added in the spring. Maybe he wasn't impressed with the punter that's coming from Australia, James Rendell. But this was one of the all-time head-scratchers.
Incredible. 5:32 is our time. We have to get to break. We had another opening topic, but those two topics just had a lot of things to get to, so we will save that for another day. And when we come back, we'll go through Eric's final chat recap, maybe for a couple of weeks, as he is going to put the chat on hiatus at InsideIndySports.com, but not too long. Maybe just a couple of weeks. But if there's breaking news, he'll be right back at it. So some interesting questions came in. We'll dig into those next on WSBT. Abby, we appreciate the forecast. 5:37 on this Thursday evening. He's Eric Hansen from InsideIndySports.com. Their Hall of Fame writer, publisher, and editor. My name is Darren Pritchett. Sports Beat continues on WSBT Radio, WSBTRadio.com, our free WSBT Radio app, and with the help of a video feed on the Twitch app. Every Wednesday at noon, except maybe the next couple of weeks, when you're at InsideIndySports.com, you can take part in Eric's Notre Dame football chat, and Irish fans across the country and around the world chime in with their questions, and we take those questions, we take what we think is the best, and we have a conversation about those here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, like Larry from Topton, Pennsylvania, about Riley Leonard. While it is true we Notre Dame fans saw him play one game versus Notre Dame, I was not focusing on the Duke quarterback that day, so I really do not remember much about him. So for those of us who do not know him, with which Notre Dame quarterback, either on the roster or recent, does Leonard's skill set most closely align?
Yeah, I thought about it.
It's not a perfect fit.
Yeah.
There's not one.
There's not one. I thought the one that probably checks the most boxes is DeShone Kizer. They're similar size, 6'4". They've both very good runners. Kizer, I think, was a little bit heavier. Kizer is also more of, kind of the John Daly of throwing the ball down the field. I mean, he's got that long lever and didn't have the intermediate passing game. I think Leonard has that. So I do think, and the interesting part is, Mike Denbrock was offensive play caller for Kizer's 2 years. He was the wide receivers coach, but he had that relationship with DeShone and helped develop him.
We hit him on the show every week that year.
Yeah, because we had he was the offensive play caller. And I remember Mike saying, I mean, they were just stunned at how much more each week DeShone Kizer could absorb. Now, Riley is in a different stage of his career. Kizer was a redshirt freshman, redshirt sophomore, and Riley will be a true senior, so it'll be a little bit different. But, you know, not Golson. Golson was a very reluctant runner. And
had it worked out, Tyler Buchner.
I mean, there's some Ian Book, but I think Riley Leonard is just so much more of a bigger guy.
Yeah.
Physically, they're not the same size. So that's where I landed. And I think maybe a little bit of Brandon Wimbush, but Brandon was faster. Riley's fast and more powerful than. And I think Riley will eventually be a better passer than Brandon, which, again, Brandon showed to be a good passer in high school, just didn't carry it over into college.
I picked this next question because it gives you an opportunity to promote something you did recently. You had a series with Pete Pavakwa, the new Notre Dame athletic director, so we can remind people about the pieces you had by asking Michael in San Antonio's question. Michael wanted to know, has there been any discussion if Southern California will continue with the Notre Dame home and home series now that they are in the old Big Ten?
Yeah, I asked Pete about both Stanford and Southern Cal because it's been, you end your regular season with one of them out on the California coast and then you host the other one in mid-October. And then they just flip-flop them from year to year, and they've been doing that for a while. And this is what he said. Well, I will say about both those series, the Notre Dame-Southern Cal game is one of the great matchups in the history of sports. It's fundamentally important to us that we continue that rivalry, and we know that USC feels the same way. That was interesting to me. We also want to continue the Stanford rivalry. It has a great history of its own, and universities like Notre Dame and Stanford, we need to play each other. It's great to play each other. It's important to play each other. The two top-ranked academic universities that also happen to put a real emphasis on athletics. Again, the exact times and locations and when that will happen, that could vary over the course of the next decade. But we will start with the principle that we absolutely want to continue to play Southern Cal every year. We want to continue to play Stanford every year. And we don't think they agree, we know they agree. And that is an important statement because the USC change in athletic director, I think, and changing conferences threw that up in the air a little bit. And then the logistics of, does Stanford count on it again, the five ACC commitment every year, or are they in a separate category?
Two things that stand out to me. You could make an argument, or you would not be surprised that at some point USC and Stanford might say, we love the rivalry, but we're traveling to the Midwest and the East Coast nonstop. At some point they might say it just makes more sense for fatigue of our coaching staff and our players to play one of those non-conference games against somebody on the West Coast. At some point it wouldn't surprise me, but I know the rivalry is important. I'm just throwing that out there because, Eric, their travel is going to be rough. I mean, football and basketball, they're going to have it easier with charters, but the other sports, my heavens. But I also wanted to ask you, from the ACC agreement with Notre Dame in terms of football scheduling, Stanford will not be included as one of those four or five games per year Notre Dame gets from the ACC?
It's my understanding that is being discussed, that that hasn't been finalized one way or the other.
Okay.
I believe Notre Dame would like it to count as an ACC commitment. And I'm not sure that the ACC wants to do that because they've already got the schedule in place that gets them to 2036. Well, now, what happens to Stanford, SMU, and Cal? Do they get in on that, or do they have to wait till 2037?
My goodness. Okay, next up from Eric's chat at InsideIndySports.com, Tony from Lake Mary. Given the injury bug last year and the games where the freshman wide receivers were playing the whole game, do you feel like perhaps the coaching staff swung the pendulum a bit too far by grabbing both Chris Mitchell and Bo Collins and now are trying to figure out how to get the experienced wide receivers playing time?
I don't think so. I think he's wondering, you know, should they have just, you know, because Michael Gilbert had a really good spring. We think Cam Williams is coming on, and Logan Saldate is going to be a really good young wide receiver. But that's not how college football at the top levels played anymore. You go out and get the best talent. You let it compete, and you let the chips fall. And Notre Dame needed to get some veteran presence, guys with track records of production. They couldn't gamble and say, well, we think Micah Gilbert's going to be ready, but we're not sure if he's going to be out of the oven by then. And so that's just the world that we live in now. I think there are fans that aren't used to this that say, well, are you slowing down the development of young players? No, I mean, they're going to have to compete. And you recruit people that are willing to be competitive. If they want to be promised positions, then you don't recruit them. Marcus Freeman won't. If somebody said, I need you to promise me that I'll be a starter, he would say, we wish you well.
Marie from Atlanta asks a question that's crossed my mind. Maybe not necessary. Well, I'll go ahead and read it. Do you think there's any chance that by the middle to the end of the season, Gerby Lambert, a true freshman, could be a starting tackle?
I think he's got some of what Charles Jagasaw and okay. Joe Alt and Blake Fisher have. I think he's got that kind of potential, you know, playing in Massachusetts and all the hopscotching they had to do around COVID early in his career and so forth, and the competition level. Is he going to be ready? I mean, he looks the part. I just don't see it happening. I don't think he beats out Charles Jagasaw, and I don't think he beats out the right tackles. I think there would have to be an injury for that to happen. Now, could he be in the two deeps? Possibly. But at some point he's going to be a starter. I just don't think it's probable that that's going to happen this year.
Washington Commanders, about a half an hour ago on their Twitter X, a video of a very familiar face walking into the facility for the first day on the job. This Sam Hartman guy.
Okay.
With the flowing hair and beard, looking very, very trim at this particular time. Adam from Florida, do you think we will be done in the secondary if and when Zachary announces? Is that the Ben Davis corner?
Yeah. You know, I'm a little surprised he hasn't announced yet, but we're still anticipating that that happens. He's a cornerback, and that would give Notre Dame three cornerbacks, Cree Thomas, Dallas Golden, and Mark Zachary. So I think they're done at cornerback. They're not done at safety, so yes, they would be looking for another safety. Ivan Taylor and Ethan Long are committed. There's a few guys in the mix there. Jadon Blair is their priority target. He's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So, no, they are not done at defensive back, but they would be done at corner.
Okay, got time for one more. John from Walled Lake, Michigan. Do you think that the Texas A&M game will set the tone for the season in a positive or negative way, depending on a win or a loss?
I think with the fans, somewhat, I mean, you know, because you don't have another big game until maybe Louisville or even Florida State in November. So there's not that chance for a redemption of beating a highly ranked team until you get to your November schedule. But I don't think it's going to be an indication of how good this team is. The defense is going to be pretty good coming out of the gate. The offense is going to be a work in progress. And so if they were to lose that game, I still think that they could be a playoff team and be maybe even win a playoff game. I think this is going to be a team that gets better as the offense gets better. But it does hamstring them a little bit in that they'd have a loss. And then you might not be able to afford a loss in November. Beating Texas A&M, then you've got, I think, a little bit of leeway with USC or Florida State to fall in one of those games.
Okay, you can read the entire transcript of Wednesday's chat at InsideNDSports.com. And another chat coming up very, very soon. 5:49, our sports beat, InsideNDSports.com, Twitter question of the day results, and a brand new question coming up next on WSBT. .555 at WSBT. He's Eric Hansen. I'm Darren Pritchett. Our Sports Beat Inside Indy Sports Twitter question from yesterday: what would you like to see changed on the Notre Dame football uniform? The choices: the pants match the helmets, a new style jersey, green jerseys as the number one choice, or absolutely nothing. The results: 3.8% said a new style jersey. So everybody's happy with the blouse. The top looks good, right?
Yeah.
Third place, 12.8% would like to see the team go with green jerseys full time. Second in the voting at 36.4%, pants match the helmet color. And I agree with that. But Eric, no surprise, 46.9%. The majority went with don't change anything with the Notre Dame uniform. I say this, never change the helmet.
I say this, you'll get nothing unlike it.
That's exactly right. To today's question, this is kind of a fun question. Because, Eric, you know, when you mention Brian Kelly's name, there's oftentimes a lot of negative thoughts that come our way. So, because of that, let's put it to the test. Would you have been okay with Notre Dame winning a national title, meaning Brian Kelly would have gotten a statue outside of Notre Dame Stadium? Your choices: give me the natty and the statue, or no thanks. I just want to see how many people are so bullheaded on this subject that they would say, I don't want Notre Dame to win a title under Brian Kelly because I would not want him to have a statue. And there will be some that vote that way. But I'm curious how many. Give me the natty. You can always walk to a different entrance to the stadium.
You can also throw tomatoes at the statue.
Yeah, that's right. Valid point.
Or put hand warmers on it.
Yeah, that's your Or paint his face red.
There you go.
There you go. Or purple, I guess, in some cases.
I hope that I get a chance to talk to Brian this summer.
I hope you do too. What's happening at InsideIndySports.com?
Well, we had Maddie Westfeld from the women's basketball team on our podcast today. So we talked women's basketball a lot about the transfers that are coming in. We also talked about, you know, the Final Four potential and the chemistry of this team this summer. So it was really fun. And then we also did some football discussion after Maddie wasn't on anymore. We also have a story from Tyler James about Notre Dame men's basketball hosting a transfer portal candidate forward. We have lots of recruiting stories, including Tyler's prediction about players that will end up in the 2026 class. The chat transcript is still up. And of course, Darren, there's always much, much more.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You too.
We'll see you next week. Eric Hansen, check him out at InsideIndySports.com. We've got a sports update, and lacrosse coach Kevin Corrigan of the national champion Fighting Irish coming up in a moment here on WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.